Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they run four. Herbert has all day in the pocket. Takes a shot downfield. Two wide open. Caught. Quentin Johnston. Touchdown. Chargers. 60-yard touchdown. Herbert to Q.
Thank you to the Chargers Radio Network. That extended LA's lead 17-6. They would go on to win the game 20-9. It was not a great offensive performance by the Raiders by any stretch. Did not have a touchdown in that game. Geno Smith had three picks. But Pearl, one of the big winners last night was definitely Quentin Johnston, who had been known for drops in his first couple of years in the league. That was a beautiful Herbert to Johnston throw. And the other big winner last night, I thought, were the Chargers defense, who looked really, really stout, really ferocious, and really closed the door on any possible Raiders comeback.
Well, here's my question, and I've heard this a lot already, and the game just happened, I saw this headline, the Chargers don't charger and blow this game. What is more Chargers to beat the Raiders 20-9 in week two? Like, that's Chargers.
No. I think you're being too literal. I think there was an opportunity for the Raiders to come back and win this game. Yeah. I think the chargering was just not that week two or whatever.
Yeah, but they don't let the chargering stuff. Of course they don't do that in week two against the Raiders, a team who's going to win six games this year. Like, that's what the Chargers do. They play stout in these situations.
Okay. I think what people mean is blowing a lead.
I know what they mean, but right. they're totally misleading. Like, they're falling for the Chargers again. They were 2-0 last year, Maggie, and everyone was into them. And then they chargered. That's the thing. Like, you guys are, it's not on the Chargers now. Everyone keeps expecting the Chargers not to be the Chargers. And there's no indication so far this season that anything is different except beating the Chiefs.
Okay. Well, yeah, beat the Chiefs in Brazil. So that's one, because they hadn't beaten them in forever. But the other thing is, last night, their defense, did you know that they had 18 passes deflected in the first half and 15 through the game, along with those three interceptions, which were coming off of a lot of deflections? It was pretty impressive, also considering they lost Khalil Mack early in the game, and he came out in a sling.
Do you know through 5 weeks they had the number one defense in the NFL last year?
That makes sense. I mean, I just think it looks different even under Jim Harbaugh last year when people were on the fence about whether they'd make the playoffs. They did make the playoffs, and then, of course, Justin Herbert threw four or five picks in the game in the playoffs.
I'm not going to put it to say that they're not the Chargers. Here's the thing. They lost Rashawn Slater. That's going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Joel
linemen.
Has been amazing. And if they lost Khalil Mack last night, it looked like it could be serious. Like, what is chargering? Chargering is starting out good and then losing all your players to injury. And Derwin James being healthy on the field is obviously a game changer, but something always happens. So I'm not going to put them in the Super Bowl because I'm just afraid of this franchise. I'm afraid. I mean, has there ever been, everyone talks about the Niners having injuries. The Chargers are the number one IR team every year. I mean, their medical room has something wrong with it. So remember
when they almost punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Yeah, yeah.
Jets quarterback.
So
ironically,
saying,
when he was getting a pain management shot.
I just say I want to see so much more from this team, and I think it's a great test this week against Denver, who's another team who I think they're very even. That we will get a great sense. If they can really put a beating on Denver, then I'm in. But right now, beating the Raiders last night, come on. Who cares?
Well,
they won this exact game last year.
That's what we were wondering also about the Raiders, because the Raiders are very different. It's one thing to beat Aiden O'Connell last year with Antonio Pierce as the head coach. It's another to have Pete Carroll back at the helm, Geno Smith playing quarterback, and as we all saw last night, Tom Brady very much involved, 10 feet away from Chip Kelly wearing a headset and in the suite with all the offensive coaches, not in the owner's suite with Mark Davis and his funky haircut eating chicken wings. This is like, you know, very hands-on involved with your friend and mine too, but Peter Schrager giving an update that Chip Kelly and Tom Brady are talking 2 to 3 times a week about the Raiders offense. And they look bad.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just we've been having this argument in some form or other for 6 months.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that Tom Brady in this role is going to make a difference. And I would even be dubious because great former players generally do not make great executives or great GMs. That's the rule. So why would Tom Brady be any different? Just because he's a brilliant quarterback does not mean he knows how to build a winner of a team.
That's fine, but I think your biggest thing was, is he involved? You'll admit now, after seeing this image from last night, that and he talks to Chip Kelly on the phone 2 to 3 times a week. They're not talking about dropping the kids off at school.
But what impact does that have?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you would think, and I know there's a lot of evidence to the contrary, but it is looked at and was looked at as a positive that Tom Brady was going to in some way help the Raiders.
By who?
Well, I think because the Raiders really need some help.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fantasy we have with great former players, and it usually doesn't work. It usually does not work out.
Do you think that Brady being former college teammates with John Spytek, who's now the general manager, the fact that they were teammates at Michigan, do you think that impacted him getting hired?
Yeah, no, I definitely think he's having a big impact on the team. But talking to Chip Kelly 2 or 3 times a week, I think has no influence. There's a staff of 10 offensive coaches who are spending 18 hours a day grinding tape and coming up with a game plan. That's where the work is being done. Talking to Chip Kelly 2 or 3 times a week is not going to beat the Broncos. I mean, how much of an actual nitty gritty impact do you think he's having? Like, do you think he's calling plays? Do you think he's suggesting plays?
I do. I actually do think that he's suggesting plays. And the reason why I think that is because with some other football stories that we've heard over the years, whether it be Spygate, and I'm going to some negative things, but stay with me, whether it's Spygate or whether it's, you know, what happened on the Michigan sideline with Connor Stallions or any of these things, right? What's the advantage you get? 1%, 2%, maybe it's like even hard to quantify. I think Bill Belichick said Spygate, he probably helped you like an 8%, you know, help by knowing the other team's signs, but they still did it and they kept doing it. And so if it didn't work, you wouldn't keep doing it. If Tom Brady, if he could even help them 1%, 2%, they're going to keep doing it. That's the margins for football. So is he going in and designing the whole offense? Maybe not. Are they talking about plays to run and ideas that they're batting around and maybe sharing intel about opponents like the Kansas City Chiefs, who Tom Brady just called their game 2 days ago? Of course they're going to use that advantage.
But do you think of the way an actual NFL week of game prep works, like that's going to make a major difference on like a game? I just think that that's not a great sign, because I'm thinking of Andy Reid and that Chiefs staff. Like, those are like pros. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and Tom Brady is really putting in the time, but you have to be so dialed in as a coach. That's why a lot of former players don't want to be coaches.
Right.
It takes hours hours and hours and like real game, real tape study.
Okay. So here's
and
the question.
I just don't think like it's going to have that kind of impact.
We'll see. Right? Last night, the offense looked terrible for the Raiders. So if Tom Brady had his fingerprints on that offense, I'd probably want to distance myself from it too. But here's a question. Tom Brady's in the booth last night, in the coach's booth, with Chip Kelly, right behind Chip Kelly, headset on, the whole deal. They lose the game 20-9.
Right.
They don't score a touchdown. Do you think Tom Brady walks out of the stadium and doesn't say anything to Chip Kelly about how the game went? You don't think he watches, goes back over and watches the tape, and then maybe talks to Chip Kelly on Wednesday or Thursday? Hey, here's one other thing I saw that jumped out at me on film.
Possible. Do I think that has any impact on their win or loss next week? Not really.
Okay. 888-710. Well, they're hoping it does, right?
They might be hoping it does. I just honestly think like this part-time guy coming in and making suggestions, just I feel like, as EJ said earlier in the show, just rip the bandaid, get in there and just be the GM if you want to be. But like 2 or 3 times a week talking with your OC, it's not really that big of an impact. And also, you know, they have 29 points for 2 weeks. It's not like they were seeing an impact. I think there's a lot on, like, it almost like you remember Pete Carroll is there. Chip Kelly is there. Like, I hope these guys are putting in the work. I hope they don't really need Tom Brady flying in because he did the color analyst for a game. I would hope that there are guys here who are serious professionals who are playing. Who's our next opponent? Washington. Like, I hope, you know, on a short week, I hope they're not relying on Tom Brady to see something.
888-710-4ISN. Now, you're welcome to weigh in on the Chargers. Does this feel different to you at all? And the Raiders, Tom Brady, seeing him in the coach's booth, did that have an impact on you at all? Let's talk about the Commanders, shall we? That's the Raiders' next opponent, and it is day-to-day right now on whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to play in that game. He has a knee injury. Here's his head coach, Dan Quinn.
He did have an MRI, and he has already begun his return to play process with us. He is truly day-to-day. What does that mean for Sunday? I can't tell you that now. I'll have more to share on that when we get to Wednesday and practice and what that would look like.
Okay, so that's obviously a huge story, Pearl. Dan Quinn, more from the head coach of the Commanders, saying he wants Jaden Daniels to be as healthy as possible before he returns.
With Jaden, we know how important he is. And so we're just going to kind of take it. That's why I truly say it's day by day to make sure that he can absolutely be himself.
Okay.
Oof, scary.
Yeah, really scary. And, you know, it was reminding me a lot of RG3 yesterday, which was a situation that Washington with totally different people. This was a Mike Shanahan, coaching staff. Dan Snyder was the owner. It was very, very different.
Yeah.
But they botched the RG3 thing.
It's ironic because it's like the most famous. There was 9 head coaches on the staff, right?
I know. It's remembered.
Kevin O'Connell, Mike McDaniel,
Sean McVay.
And there are a few
Raheem
other ones.
Morris.
Zach Robinson might have been there. Like it was a dream team of coaches. But there was Snyder looming over him. And also, that field was so bad back then. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think this comes down on Mike Shanahan. I think he messed up. He has to wear that. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Mike Shanahan's awesome, but he totally screwed that up. You know, you put RG3 back in the game, a running quarterback who had gotten hurt. They put him back in a game. Jaden Daniels is obviously a great, you know, thrower, but running is also part of his arsenal as well. If he's not 100%, do you play him in this game?
I mean, no, but that field was a factor, though. You can't.
Fine.
It looked like it was chewed up like crazy. I hope, and here's the relevance, you know, I hope that we're not seeing a repeat of this because they're probably going to try and play Jaden Daniels like, you know, Washington's trying to go for it. And Jaden Daniels, here's the thing. They can't protect him, like in the sense that, like, they can't run the ball because they have not run the ball successfully. Their O-line is a bit of a mess. They're first round pick does not look great, Connerly. So, you know, Jaden Daniels, if he gets out there, just like RG3, he's going to be tempted to do anything he can to win the game, and he's going to play full throttle. That's why almost you have to protect him from himself.
This is not an easy schedule they have coming up. Now, the Raiders, we'll see what happens there. That's a home game.
Bad, long trip for the Raiders.
Long trip for the Raiders, short week, fine. At Atlanta, at the Chargers. Then Chicago at Dallas at Kansas City in primetime. Seattle, Detroit, Miami in, where's that, Spain? Before the bye. It's in Europe somewhere. I think it's in Spain. You got a couple here coming up for Jaden Daniels. There's not really a lot of soft spots on this schedule is what I'm trying to say. Maybe the Raiders might be the one.
Well, I don't know.
Do you turn it over to Marcus Mariota?
You got the Raiders? I don't know. What do you know about Atlanta? I mean, Atlanta's been 7-10 for about 5 years in a row. Then you got Chicago and then Dallas and Kansas City. We do not, there's a lot of unknown on here. Kansas City, that might not be the game that it used to be, but it is at KC.
So, and it's in primetime. So Jaden Daniels is actually the one iffy. Will he play? Won't he play? We'll hear more from Dan Quinn. More definitively, yesterday we got the word that Joe Burrow is going to undergo toe surgery. So he's out for at least 3 months. We know Jake Browning's going to take over. And then later in the day yesterday, we got the J.J. McCarthy news, which is that he is an ankle sprain and he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Pearl, which of these teams, and maybe I'll let you put San Francisco in here as well, because Brock Purdy's also dealing with turf toe. They turned the team over to Mac Jones. Who's most set up to deal with this kind of injury? Who's least set up to deal with this kind of injury?
Oh, well.
Or maybe let's
take Mac Jones. Let's take Mac Jones out of it. Because honestly, I like the Bengals set up here. Because we've seen Jake Browning win a lot in this scenario. And I think he's a really high-end quarterback. And he seems to have chemistry with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. How hard is it to throw to those guys? The problem with the Bengals is still the same problem from before, protecting the quarterback and defense. So I think the situation, this week he faces Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is very new to that building. So I think he has a major edge right there. So I would go Jake Browning as the best situation. But I'm kind of taking San Francisco out of that because that feels like cheating.
Because we already saw Mac Jones.
We already saw Mac Jones.
Yeah, well, we've already seen Jake Browning, to be fair.
Yeah.
I actually think that Minnesota set up the best here. First of all, well, you were relying on a second-year quarterback, but one that was making his debut.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz actually has played quite a bit. He's played in playoff games. And I've seen Kevin O'Connell get good performances out of Josh Dobbs and, you know, even more journeyman than that.
Nick Mullins.
And it doesn't even get more journeyman maybe than the Pastrnak and Nick Mullins. So I think Carson Wentz and the Vikings, not only are they going to be okay, I wonder if you end up seeing a little bit of a bump here. And if Wentz is able to run the offense maybe a little smoother than J.J. McCarthy, who's played eight quarters and one of them was good.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Vikings, like the Bengals, have a lot of talent. They have Justin Jefferson. Now, I wonder...
Addison will be coming back, too.
Yeah, is Justin Jefferson really Justin Jefferson right now? That is one major concern I have. And you do have a Brian Flores running the defense, so that'd be good. I think I was looking at the history. Nick Mullins did, when he was a Vikings quarterback, play Jake Browning, and they actually had a shootout. So there is a chance this will be a good one. By the way, we didn't mention EJ's Jets. What about Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, what's the latest with Justin Fields and the concussion?
I mean, he's in concussion protocol. So Aaron Glenn said yesterday that he thinks it's hard to see Fields playing. He doesn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday.
Does that have a similar feel, by the way, to getting J.J. McCarthy off the field, that maybe Tyrod Taylor as a veteran gives you a better chance of winning? I got that vibe.
I mean, but Fields was so good in week one. Like, I don't think Taylor would have played as well as Fields did in week one. I also can't see Taylor being as bad as Fields was in week two, which is the conundrum that comes with Justin Fields, is that he has these moments and even games of brilliance, but he could easily give you a 4-for-16 passing performance the next week.
Yeah,
well, it's not like you're playing a good defense or anything. Oh, wait, you're playing the Bucs.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the 85 Bears? Come on.
It's a good defense.
C.J. Stroud look pretty pedestrian
once in a while, though. The Bucs will just get torched, though. Like, Todd Bowles gives it and take it.
Kalijah Kansi he got injured yesterday, and that kind of got lost in the shuffle of that game. That's a big injury. He's an important player on the defensive line.
There are five pretty good backup quarterbacks playing this weekend, by the way. Like, every one of these guys has won football games, like, at a high level, which is unusual. We could see, honestly, I know everyone hates seeing the backups, but this is not so bad.
Okay, you think that the Bengals are best set up for an extended quarterback absence, which they're going to have because Joe Burrow's having toe surgery. I think it's actually the Vikings. So who is the least set up for this? Does that mean by association it's got to be Jaden Daniels and Washington is least prepared?
I would say where Washington is right now, they are all about Jaden Daniels. The receiving corps looks terrible right now. Terry McLaurin, I'm sorry, like, you should not have held out for that money. You look old and slow.
Well, he should have held out for the money. It just
he's not separated
he
yet.
Held in. Yeah.
And it seems like they missed Deami Brown. I just think that Washington needs their quarterback more than, well, obviously Cincinnati does too, but Washington, just Jaden Daniels has been the offense, and it's a razor's edge for that team.
Just so you know what Vegas thinks, I mean, the bettors, not the Raiders. Washington's still at this point a 3.5-point favorite at home with those Raiders coming to visit. So even the dicey Jaden Daniels news has not moved the line, but we'll see what happens on Wednesday.
I was really surprised. Give me the latest Vikings line that...
Standby. Vikings are a 3-point favorite.
That's... Okay, so it has come down a lot, which is...
I don't know what it was before.
I think it was... I'll check the open. I think it was closer to 4. But... Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting. All these teams. You know, I'm Mr. Backup Quarterback.
I know. This is really your time to shine. And by the way, there's a couple guys who might just get benched for backups. I mean, Russell Wilson maybe kept Jackson Dart on the bench for one more week. How much longer are we doing the Joe Flacco thing?
Yep.
Well, I think America's trying to get Jameis Winston to the Bengals.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that yesterday, too.
I don't hate it.
Well, I mean, I think Jake Brown, he'd be a backup, though, to Jake Brown. Because Jake Brown, he's had enough success to keep that job. By the way, I know Manny. I could convince Manny to adopt one of these. Manny, are you familiar with Jake Browning's girlfriend's work?
No. What's her body?
I would say 5-star.
Of work.
Body of work, of course. What'd you insinuate?
Yeah.
Well, I remember her from the white pants.
Yeah.
That's off the top of the head.
Yes, I do recall.
That was that Vikings game I was talking about.
Was that the Vikings
game? Yeah.
I recall very much.
Very memorable game.
Well, it was very funny because I think that was Joe Burrow gave Jake Browning's family his suite. And it was like, wow, what a nice guy Joe Burrow is. I'm like, well, did you see the girlfriend?
Yeah, she apparently made a scene last week, too.
Oh.
You use your Google machine, Manny.
Oh, I've heard of the Google
scene,
machine.
You mean,
I'll go ahead and look this up.
Showed up half naked.
You mean existed in the world?
No. Existed, yeah. She basically existed the way she came into the world at last week's game for the Bengals.
Maybe she knew something.
Yeah.
Maybe she ordered the hit.
Maybe it's a good luck. Good luck, John.
Just to get a little extra camera time.
Hey, man, he's winning.
I would say, like, really right. Everybody knows the quarterback.
To be honest, I'd rather be dating the backup quarterback, too.
Yeah, a little less safer.
Yeah,
a little safer.
Oh, yeah. I recall this little white number that she put on.
Because I think I can live off $7, $8 million a year, just ballparking that. I don't need the guy who's making $250 million. And
everybody knows the quarterback.
Maybe he'll save a couple brain cells because he's not out there getting mollywopped every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'll bet you Marcus Mariota's wife is probably a very nice, sensible woman.
We saw her on the quarterback show.
I always fast forward when he came on. How was she?
Wow.
Damn.
More interesting than him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, why'd they pick him?
Am I the only one intrigued by Marcus Mariota playing in a Cliff Kingsbury offense? This is probably the most college offense he's seen since he was at Oregon, and we know what he was at Oregon.
Marcus Mariota's employed?
I bet against he's playing this week. Where have you been, man, over the last 10 minutes? He played against the Cowboys at the end of last season. He looked like Peyton Manning in the Colts offense. He could not miss a single person. He was amazing last year.
I feel like he might be able to do something with this team. This might be one of the few teams he actually may look really good.
But he's
by the way, he hasn't been in college for like 10 years.
I know, but these coaches he's had, I feel like it's kind of been a square peg round hole deal with him because I think they've been trying to make him into something he's not. He's clearly not like I'm a West Coast offense guy, make three reads and make a throw. He is a one read and run.
Yeah, he had two games last year and he didn't miss a pass the entire game. But those were in backup roles where they weren't prepping for him. You saw the Washington play against Green Bay. It was like Jaden Daniels was running for his life. So that's a different situation.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You got a couple backups coming in. J.J. McCarthy sidelined with an ankle 2 to 4 weeks. Joe Burrow, we know, is out for at least 3 months with a turf toe surgery. And now Jaden Daniels is day-to-day. Who do you think can best weather that storm? Maggie and Perloff show. Give us a
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. I have my favorite for this choice.
Yeah, I got one too.
It has to be Cam Bynum, and I don't know what he's been doing as a player. He's been really good, 2 interceptions. But first week he did the sort of spastic celebration in the end zone was amazing. This week he somehow upped it, got an interception, went in the end zone. This is a Colts cornerback, and put a football in his stomach and did the same dance as the mascot, and it was glorious.
Blew the mascot.
Yeah, it was kind of like the, what is that?
He did a Hingle McCringleberry.
Hip thrust.
It was amazing. As a huge fan of the Philly Fanatic, it was Philly Fanatic-esque. So funny. Does he deserve Defensive Player of the Week? He's been good, 2 interceptions, so I'll give him that. But he's brilliant, and he should be a superstar based on this. I can't wait to see what he does next.
You know, we should actually pitch this to Navy Federal, maybe celebration of the week.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Because anyway. I like the Lion celebration when they did the stumble.
They did the stumble bum.
Yeah.
They were putting the finishing touches on their former offensive coordinator.
The Lions fake hamstring injury thing, like, ooh, I don't know.
Justin Jefferson used to do that.
Yeah,
it was Amon-Ra St. Brown this week. Like, that was over the top. Like, dude, people are actually hurting their hamstrings.
Yeah, just don't do a fake turf toe. Yeah, that apparently is the injury du jour. I actually think EJ went college.
Ooh.
And I think that EJ is petty.
Oh.
So as much as he loves Miami, he does not like Florida.
That is true.
And Miami's playing Florida this week.
That is also true.
And DJ Lagway threw 5 picks against LSU. And Spears, whose name I'm forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Marcus.
I think it's not his kid, though, is it?
I don't know about that. I don't think so.
Anyway, that guy had 2 of those 5 interceptions. So I think EJ went with a rival. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So he went with LSU cornerback Spears.
Wow.
What's his name?
Maggie's so good.
I do not know his name. I don't know his first name.
Kosher Dill.
So, which means I obviously did not pick him. Miami. Maggie was right when it came to thinking on the Miami front. But both of you guys were wrong in the player that we picked.
2 downfield target for Bryce Young.
6 catches, 100 yards on 4th down. Young sacked. And it's Calais Campbell turning out the lights on the Panthers.
That's right. Calais Campbell at a spring or spry, 39 years old, is the defensive player of the week. Mm-hmm. He closed the door on the Panthers after the rest of his teammates tried to give the game away. Calais Campbell came to the rescue, got the last sack to seal the game. Calais Campbell, again, 39 years old, says he would be, quote unquote, very surprised if this is not his last season. The guy can still play, which is incredible. He was great again on Sunday, and considering there might not be many defensive player of the week he can win anymore, I think Calais Campbell deserves some love. So shout out to another great Miami Hurricane. Calais Campbell, your defensive player of the week.
And my idea for a sitcom, Calais Campbell and Bryce Young, tall and short, being friends, or Kyler Murray, because the two of them together would be hysterical. He's so huge. He's the biggest man I've ever met in my life.
Why don't you and Bogush get together? You're tall, and Bogush is rather diminutive in stature.
Is that right? Bogush, you're not short.
Bogush taller than you,
I'm
maybe.
Definitely short.
Yeah, he's short.
Short for what?
I'm short,
what are you
too,
talking
about? Bro. I know I'm short.
I'm like 5'9". I think that's below the average male height, I think.
Hey, don't consider you guys, either of you, short.
No, I don't either.
Samter.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
That's
we once put him in a box and pushed him over.
Calais Campbell is a legit 6'8". That guy is a monster.
He's so large.
It's DeShawn Spears, by the way. I should give him a little respect. Way,
5'9" is the average male height in the U.S.
Nice. Congrats. You're
right
average.
On the button.
I noticed at LSU, Harold Perkins is back. Remember that guy who was supposed to be the number one pick?
They changed his position, and now he's a superstar again.
Yeah, I know. He looked real fast, and he was really bothering my guy, DJ Lagway.
Yeah, Todd McShay was saying that him being in the star position is going to ruin every offensive team's game plan because you don't know where he is, and he's the best athlete on the field.
So is he still good then? I don't even know.
He's really good now, yeah.
You remember a couple years ago, it was like, oh my God, this guy's a surefire number one overall pick.
And now he will probably be
I was going to say, it's not going to be Arch.
He may have a shot at it now because he's been playing incredibly this year.
Let's get to Andrew Bogush, who's got the latest headlines. Lots of news coming out yesterday.
Guys, Geno Smith authored the most explosive pass plays in week 1 last night to close out week 2.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though.
Almost the complete opposite.
3rd down and 15. 4-man rush. Smith sets, throws for the end zone. Deflected and intercepted. A diving pick in the end zone. Dante Jackson off the Derwin James deflection.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood 1. Geno picked off 3 times. He never got the Raiders into the end zone, leading to a 29 home loss to the Chargers.
You know, I'm never going to make any excuses about anything. I've got to be better. We got to be better. And we got a short week to improve on that.
Justin Herbert, on the other hand, 2 touchdown passes to get his team to 2-0. The Buccaneers with their second fourth quarter rally in as many weeks. This time, they drove 80 yards and 11 plays for Rashad White's go-ahead 2-yard TD run with 6 seconds left.
You guys an idiot.
Give me Todd Bowles.
We practice it all the time, starting in the spring, and we try to go through every scenario and put them in every situation possible, from the best to the worst, and just constant repetition and repetition, and guys believing in each other, and they did a heck of a job pulling it out.
Anything's better than you.
The Texans' offense struggled again, but their special team set them up for 9 fourth quarter points, almost stealing this W. On the heels of Joe Burrow's toe surgery, we were told that J.J. McCarthy has a high ankle sprain, and that Jaden Daniels dealing with a knee injury. Daniels' day-to-day, McCarthy could miss 2 to 4 weeks. Let's rewind now to Saturday. Brian Kelly and LSU just fought off DJ Lagway in Florida 2010.
I'm here with my family.
Then the head coach went to his press conference.
Brian in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20 to 10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions.
Good times. Kelly.
I kind of love that he's like, ask another question. He's like, how come you weren't going on third down?
Yeah.
This dude had it ready to go.
Yeah, standing 10 toes down, that guy.
Not back at all.
His name is Michael Cauble, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's a local TV guy, and he got an apology from Brian Kelly for the outrage. Kelly is saying the program needs to be better with how it works with the media, starting with him.
Yeah, hello? You play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm. Apparently, like LSU, all of their offensive numbers are down. So it wasn't just, it was kind of like about not just.
They had 5 interceptions and won the game 20 to 10. How do you not score more than 20 points when you have 5 interceptions?
That should have been the other question.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think everybody was, that guy was saying the thing that everyone was wondering, like, how was that game so close? You had a pick 6, right?
I mean, not allowed.
Yeah.
Apparently, Garrett Nussmeier has a torso injury that they said is not going to heal until the bye week.
He's got tendonitis, right? On it's coming in this season with on his knee.
So that's the one thing. These guys play a lot of college, which is, I think, helping them in the NFL, but it also just exposes them to a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I'm not sure about LSU. I know they're kind of riding high, but their offense is not great. Their defense is awesome, but you get the impression that they're going to run against some SEC offense that's going to give them problems. And then can they score enough?
Yeah, but don't they get better? Have they gotten better throughout the year? They lose the opening game every year, right? And now they finally won one.
Yeah, but then they usually kind of hit a late-ish midseason swoon usually, and that's kind of usually what ends up eliminating them from the college football playoff. Like, I think that I'm not saying they're going to get eliminated because they're on a really good start. If they're going to be this bad offensively, I don't think you can expect to beat every SEC team 20 to 10.
They could use Clemson to play well the rest of the year, though.
To make that look a little bit better.
The Phillies, clinched the NL East last night with a 6-5 win in 10 at Dodger Stadium. We also had the Blue Jays winning their 5th in a row. That was 2-1 in 11 in Tampa, while the Yankees were losing in Minnesota 7-0. So Toronto now leads the AL East by 5 full games.
Yeah, it's all over.
And the Diamondbacks dumped the Giants 8-1. So now it's Arizona that's a game and a half behind the Mets for the last NL wildcard spot. San Francisco and Cincinnati are 2 games back. Back to you guys.
I've got a trivia question for everybody after the break.
Aww.
Because I was just looking at LSU's upcoming schedule.
Mm-hmm. I just saw it too.
And I've got a trivia question off of that. We'll do it next. Maggie and Perloff Show. Hang on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I teased it before the break. Trivia question. That got everybody excited around
here. Yeah, let's go.
So we were talking about LSU and Brian Kelly kind of blowing up on a reporter who asked about the offense after they were just 20-10 over Florida. But Pearl, to your point, five interceptions.
Yeah, and you only pick six.
One pick six and you only got 20 points. A fair question.
And you won week one 17-10 too.
And Brian Kelly blew up, like, he called the reporter, said everyone's spoiled, yeah. And, you know, just really went over the top.
Also, he said, the reporter that asked about the running game, he's like, what do you mean we didn't have a running game? We had one big run at the end. Like, one big run is a running game? What is Brian Kelly even talking about?
The game.
Yeah, so anyway, Brian Kelly then had to apologize. So, okay. I was looking at LSU's upcoming schedule. Now, this week should be pretty easy for them. Mm-hmm. It's Southeast
Louisiana.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
Then after that, mm-hmm. they play Ole Miss. And here's where the trivia question is. Ole Miss backup quarterback who had to start the game, Trinidad Chambliss.
Amazing.
Won a title at Division II Ferris State.
Yep.
Where is Ferris State University?
I don't know.
Bogues, you're walking away?
I have a general idea.
I have
Ferris
no idea.
Ferris State, that's where Trinidad Chambliss, all-time name. And by the way, that dude can cook.
By the way, I think he's going to threaten that job.
Austin Simmons?
Austin Simmons is really good.
He's got a really bad sprained ankle. But by the way, came into the game when Chambliss got knocked out with a bloody thumb and still kept a drive alive.
I was wondering, is he related to Chris Chambliss? That was the only
That's Ryan Staub in Colorado. That's where I thought it was going.
Wait, does Chris Chambliss spell with two S's?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was one S. Anyway, baseball.
I'm going to guess Ferris State, based on
Ferris
Bueller from Chicago, is going to be in Illinois.
All right.
I love the logic. Thank you for showing your work, but the answer is wrong. Where is Ferris State?
I'm going to say Missouri.
No. I will go with the great, great state of Montana.
You'd be wrong.
Damn it. So
what's Montana there for?
Unless my brain is misfiring, Ferris State is not bad at Division I college hockey.
Okay.
That you're getting warmer.
So Northeast. I want to say that this is an upper Midwest or Rust Belt area school. So Perloff, I don't think you were necessarily wrong. Like your logic was questionable, Ferris Bueller. But going Illinois, I think you were in the neighborhood of where Ferris State is.
Oh,
I'm going to settle on Michigan for Ferris State.
Ding, ding, ding. Andrew Bogish, the smartest guy in the room. It is in Big Rapids, Michigan. Not Grand.
No.
Grand Rapids is somewhere else. This is Big Rapids.
A dumper than usual.
There's a lot of rivalry there between the Rapids. You got to pick a side. Between Grand and Big.
I've heard
that's
that.
That's heated.
I've heard that.
Throw out
the
records.
Sharks and the Jets.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. So congrats to Trinidad Chambliss.
Congrats, Bogus. What does Bogus win for knowing where Ferris State was?
Absolutely nothing.
Mm.
I already said you're the smartest guy in the room.
Congrats.
It's nestled in between Grand Rapids and Traverse City, Michigan.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's Traverse City. I spent a weekend at Traverse City because of baseball.
Yeah, it's lovely there.
Yeah, the Pit Spitters play there.
Yeah, it's the cherry capital of the world.
We're on all over that area.
I know, we're on Traverse
right
City.
Now. Yeah.
So anyway, Ferris State and Trinidad Chambliss, and that was your trivia question for today.
That's like what we do in March when the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Nicholls State. Yeah.
That's in Louisiana.
Wright State.
Yep. All of those, which I don't remember.
Wright State is Michigan, Illinois. One of those, right? That's in Detroit, isn't it? Or anyway.
I believe it's in Michigan.
Oakland also in Michigan.
Yes.
Oakland is definitely in Michigan because it's close to Detroit.
Yeah, remember that bald guy hit all those threes.
Ah, yes. Golkey.
Let's get to our Daily Dion.
Daily. Do you believe that? Dion. You believe that?
When we started this segment, it felt like we had a lot more to go on. But Dion's still doing his thing in Colorado. We all know where Boulder is, Pearl. Manny, can I hear cut 21, please? Deion Sanders, after a loss to Houston, said Colorado's getting their butts kicked.
We're not struggling. We're getting our butts kicked. Don't. You don't have to be polite with me. You don't have to sugarcoat it. I come from a mama who kept it a buck with me, so let's keep it a buck. We get our butts kicked. We're not successful on either side of the ball as we would wish to be.
All right. Here's more from Sanders. This is courtesy of Wall Off Media. Is this Deion Jr.?
Yeah, Deion Jr., that crew.
Okay.
What about Junior?
He's talking to the locker room, and he can't believe how badly they got beat.
Right now, to be honest with you, I'm lost for words. Because there's no way anybody could have told me that we were going to come down here and get our butt kicked. When I'm talking about getting your butts kicked, when we give up 209 yards rushing, that means we are out physical. Everybody in here that played in the game could account for at least a play or two that you want back. That you didn't make the best of your opportunity. And that's what life consists of, opportunity. If you don't make the best of your opportunity, there's no way you could be successful.
What about Junior?
All right, so that's good life lesson there from Deion Sanders. Got to make the most of your opportunities. Lost to Houston on the road, 36-20. They're now 1-2 on the season. But here's the question about Deion. Is Colorado less relevant now? Because Deion is the draw, but with no Shador or Travis Hunter, and now with a 1-2 record, are they less relevant?
Can you be less relevant than zero relevant? Because that's where they are. I always thought they were over relevant before because Deion, I think the coverage got way ahead of the skis where that program actually was. Yeah.
But they were winning and it was a feel good story that he was turning around a program.
What was their record?
Well, they weren't winning. They'd come off of one win and I think they won four or five games that year, right? They were one game away from a Big 12 title last year.
Was it fair to say they are the most overhyped four-win team in the history of college sports?
Well, but that's also because Deion's celebrity.
They had the Rock there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think they were overhyped. Now I don't think anyone cares. I really think there is zero interest in Colorado football.
You know what's funny? Colorado, the interest has waned, although let's see what happens when they get into the Big 12 schedule. And they already made a quarterback change, and maybe that will keep things interesting. But I feel like Bill Belichick has kind of gone by the wayside with this North Carolina thing, too. They came out, they got smacked around by TCU in the opener. And then we were talking about the newsroom yesterday. Half of us didn't even know that they played this weekend.
No.
They beat up on the Richmond Spiders.
Yeah, I mean, that's another team that I mean, it's North Carolina football. I don't care how great a coach Bill Belichick is. To make that program relevant is really hard. You have to admit. They've been playing football for a long time, and they've never been relevant.
Yeah, it's just interesting that the two biggest, you know, two guys who have had the biggest influence, definitely from the NFL standpoint, and Deion, obviously, at FSU, but it's just like kind of went away. And obviously for Deion, it's bigger. He's dealing with a lot of health issues and stuff like that. But
I mean, honestly, this is hindsight 2020, and maybe they'll get better, but we should have known Belichick had to bring in 70 new players. Like, it wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah, but he's also maybe the greatest coach of all time. So was that going to even the playing field a little bit? We see so many boneheaded college decisions week in, week out. You know, I thought that he was going to be a secret sauce just for that.
But did you really? Like,
I did.
To what degree? Like
bowl win eligible, the ACC? And maybe they still will make a bowl, but
they could easily make a good bowl. Yeah, I mean, they could easily be a bowl. Did you think that they might get to the playoff? That's like, if you're saying it's the greatest coach ever. Otherwise, like, what are we talking about here?
Okay, so you're looking around the NFL. We're talking about Mike McDaniel could be fired. I don't know what other NFL coaches might be on the hot seat.
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, their guy.
And we know the connection Belichick has to the Giants. Do you think Belichick gets back in? Do you think the Carolina experiment might end up being a one and done? And if, let's say, the Mara family is like, we can't do this with Daboll.
I think it's the opposite. I think... But if it goes as bad as it appears to be going, I know they won this week, but like if it is like a nothing burger and they're just like whatever, I think it's less likely he's in the NFL.
I mean, if he couldn't get hired last offseason, coming off a really good year in the media, how's he going to get hired now?
If he wins six games at Carolina, that's not attracting me as an NFL team to be like, oh, you know, we've got to get that guy in here.
Yeah.
Maybe enough teams continue their ineptitude and they just continue the cycle, like the Giants or maybe the Miami Dolphins.
I'm just going to say this one thing about the Giants. I'm not sure they're moving on from Daboll, first off, because if Jackson Dart looks good, then I think they'll keep him around. But would you really go third time's a charm with a first-time head coach?
No.
You went from Joe Judge to Brian Daboll, and then you're going to do this again with who? Like the Jeff Hafley, who was a coach in college? Or I'm trying to think who's going to be hot.
You know, the
Packers defensive coordinator?
They said the guy last night, Josh Grizzard on the Bucs, definitely getting a head coaching job.
Okay.
I think the one place that I would look at for Belichick would be Tennessee.
What?
I think.
Ryan Callahan?
I'm like, Josh Heupel's the man.
Titans, yeah.
Because Brian Callahan doesn't know the rule book?
Yeah, Brian Callahan, he seems so out of his depth right now as a head coach. And we know if Belichick has a great quarterback, he can do some things.
Did that owner fire Vrabel? Or like the new ownership?
Yeah, the GM. Yeah, that's been weird.
Belichick light.
Yeah, but I don't think that had to do with. I think that was a personal thing. Vrabel is. I mean, the reporting is that he's intimidating.
Yeah,
which he is.
Yeah. What do you think Bill Belichick is?
No, but I mean, remember they said it was because he was big and strong. Like,
yeah,
that is a weird organization. But that was. A
I think there
that,
was more to it than that. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think with them, they may say, "Listen, like we got this gem of a quarterback. If we can get him with like this Hall of Famer, I also think Bill could sell himself to the Titans better than he could sell himself to most teams.
Bill Belichick just went through this a year younger, and there were 7 openings and couldn't even really get an interview. Like, all of a sudden, he's going to get a job. Well, and I hate to call you out for this because I have a million of them.
Yeah.
What did you tweet after the first drive from North Carolina?
I said, how many NFL GMs are going to have explaining to do to their owners because Bill Belichick looked great?
You weren't alone. There was a lot.
I was like 24 of them.
I think that's up to a couple 100,000 views on Freezing Cold Takes. So thank you.
Oh,
for
that got
that
Freezing
up.
Cold Take, right?
Oh yeah.
I keep telling people though, I've never seen a game be so deceiving in terms of how the rest of the game was going to go than that first drive.
Chicago Bears. No, the Bears got a little bit of this.
Yeah,
those first drives are looking real smooth with Ben Johnson and Caleb.
Competitive, the Vikings game. Like it looked like North Carolina was going to blow out TCU.
The Bears
and instead, they
them.
Got blown out.
Bears were killing the Vikings until like 8 minutes left in the game.
I'm just saying that the first drive is chef's kiss between Caleb Williams and new coach Ben Johnson. And then the rest
the
of the game happens.
They're not losing. Well, yeah.
Because it's the NFL.
I don't know. I feel like...
They just got smoked by the Lions. They lost. They hung 52 on them.
Not quite the same thing as what happened in North Carolina TCU.
No, you're right about that. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, happy Independence Day. Viva Mexico. Thank you, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and Coffee Drinkers. See you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.